Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 16th of March, 2021. Your guess is as good as mine at this point, honestly. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi. Greetings.
I would like to just...
Salutations.
I'd like to just dig straight in with you on a very interesting story that you came across this morning from CNBC.
Yes, well, a lot of people have got hold of it, but I think CNBC actually got to spend some time with the product. Google has unveiled its second generation of the Nest Hub.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a smart display and speaker. It costs $99. It's going to be available on March 30th. Now, why on an Apple Focus show are we talking about this? Well, for one thing, it's kind of interesting that it's another product that you can use Apple Music on.
That's true.
So that there's that. The people who use Apple Music but might not want, say, I don't want to open up old wounds from yesterday, but, you know, a HomePod or HomePod Mini, basically this is an alternative.
Yeah.
However...
if you're using other Google devices in your home, this is the Nest Hub, which is part of Google's Nest line of products for your house.
Correct.
For people who don't know, the Google Mini plays nicely with all of these. Nest is the thermostat made a big splash, and then Google liked it so much they bought it. So Nest is now a Google product, and that would be the smart thermostat. And then they also have, I think, smoke detector, carbon monoxide detectors.
Yeah, there's a whole
and
lot of smart
some other
home
stuff.
And,
yeah.
In
the Nest line.
I think the idea of this product of the Hub is that it kind of ties it all together.
Yeah.
So reading about it, you're like, that sounds cool. Then I had my Apple user freak out when I read in this CNBC story this sentence. Users can set the new Nest Hub near where they sleep, like on a bedside table, and it will guide them through a setup process for sleep sensing, which helps line the radar up with where you sleep in bed.
And that made my Apple user raise an eyebrow. It was the second sentence that sort of bothered me, which was Google said it can measure micro movements like your chest moving while breathing to determine when you're sleeping.
Yes. Not creepy in any way.
Not at all. No.
Absolutely fine. So before we kind of get accused of fanboyism or whatever... obviously, for you, there is sleep sensing and sleep tracking capabilities, for example, on the Apple Watch.
Yes. But that is the thing that you strap to your arm.
this, to me, feels like a different order of magnitude.
Yes.
Of creepy.
Right. And I think part of that is, it's up to me if I wear my watch to bed and it's not monitoring Mr. Kelly in the night, for example. If I'm using any sort of sleep tracking, it's not measuring any of his movement or anything like that. And I don't even use a ton of the tracking on it. I just really like it because my alarm goes off first. And so I basically wear my watch to bed at night so that I get the quiet tapping on my arm instead of a noisy alarm going off in the morning to wake up. Yes. It's far nicer. And even if I didn't have the alarm that went off first, I would still prefer... this method. It's so much nicer to wake up to a gentle tap on your arm than to a loud alarm noise. So I much prefer this method anyway. But it's not tracking the quality of his sleeping, for example, or anything like that. Like, it, you know, if I'm against it, you know, if he was against having anything tracking him, like, my watch doesn't impact any of that. It's only going to track me. So
there's definitely that. There's also... there is something, this, you know, I have an Alexa in my bedroom because I like to listen to podcasts in that room and whatever. I have my computer in one room and the Alexa in the
and
other
the
side.
And the Echo Dot in the other room. Right. You have a
exactly.
Dot.
So yeah. I can listen to the same kind of content in whatever room I'm in. Can you tell I've spent a lot of time in this apartment over the last year? But so... there, and you know, I remember telling my colleagues I'd got this, and everyone was like, "Oh, you want an Amazon product?" I was like, "It's fine. She doesn't care what I'm doing when I'm asleep."
Mm-hmm.
This obviously is targeted at when you're asleep. It's a sleep tracking thing. And so my point is, while there are products that we all use that have similar capabilities, this feels either just because it's using the word radar, or because it's it just feels different to me. And it's also worth noting on this that the device has microphones in it, obviously, because it needs to pick up keywords and stuff when you talk to it. But they can also determine if you're snoring in your sleep, or you cough. And there are other built-in sensors that can determine the room's temperature and the brightness of lights. There's a lot going on, and it's not even like, look, we can all make our own judgments about which companies we trust with our data and which we don't.
Yeah.
But you may well have found the Mac Observer for the first time by Googling us. So like, we can't pretend we don't use Google or, whatever. But yeah, there is something that makes me feel distinctly uncomfortable about this product. And I don't know if it's silly Apple user paranoia or real, but...
Well, I think there's another piece of it. We talk a lot about how Apple will do things that don't make much sense. And then, we look back later, and now that we have more information now, we can look back at that thing they did 2 years ago that looked weird that now makes perfect sense. And Google, I think Google has telegraphed a couple of punches here in another piece of the announcement that says the sleep sensing, which is the part that we're talking about that it uses the radar for. Like part of what it says is it can help you make recommendations about sleeping better based on that. And it says sleep sensing is free for the next year. Google hasn't decided if it will charge for it yet. And the
guess which way that decision will go.
Yeah. The first thing that made me think of was Google's recent acquisition of Fitbit, which is another thing people used to wear at night to track their sleep. So this is the other thing that that may tie into that. So now that Fitbit is a Google product, there might be some connection to something like this, as part of that service or something like that. So it definitely looks like this is all going to evolve into some new sort of thing. So as we find out more about it, we will talk to you about it. I think it's going to be interesting to find out how this shakes out, because this is specifically meant for sleep sensing. This isn't meant to be the one that goes in the kitchen. This is meant to be the one that goes on your nightstand. Like, they're gunning for that from the start.
It's called sleep sensing.
Absolutely.
So, I have to say, I don't do any of the sleep tracking stuff on any of my devices, just because I think it makes me self-conscious and I sleep less well.
Yeah.
But,
This
is definitely not working for me.
Yeah. I do like the reminders, and I do have it set for the bedtime stuff, so that like it says, you're supposed to be asleep right now, so you have to hit dismiss if you're gonna do stuff on your phone in the nighttime. That has actually helped me. Obviously your mileage may vary. As we find out more about this, as more people get their hands on it and get a chance to really put it through its paces, we'll let you know more. Right now, I'd like to talk a little bit with you, Charlotte, about a topic near and dear to your heart, as you recently had to send your watch away to Apple.
Right. TLDR, I was testing out WatchOS 7.4 beta on an old phone that I also am testing the 14.5 beta on.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Except, obviously, you can't then downgrade the operating system.
Right. There's no take backs once you install a beta.
No take backs, so that I couldn't resync my phone on that is running 14.4 or whatever we're on and 7.3, and they wouldn't talk to each other anymore.
Right.
So you either have to wait until everything catches up with each other, and then just remove your developer profile.
Yeah, until the beta becomes a released version. So when 14.5 comes out, you could, if you had held off, then you could have done it then. Or
yeah, it would have all eventually come into sync to synced up together. Or you have to send it back to Apple.
Yes,
and they will downgrade it to you.
Well, this is your watch,
and the watch, exactly. The phone was fine.
Yeah.
Because the main reason for this is basically, but there is nothing on your, there's obviously no port on your Apple Watch. There's nothing you can actually plug a cable or a computer into. Mm-hmm. So basically most things that go wrong with your Apple Watch, whether it's this or another issue, basically you have to send it back to Apple for repair.
Mm-hmm.
Which in normal times is kind of annoying, but fine, because maybe you can drop it into an Apple store and they'll sort it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously at the moment, basically the main thing that is through post. So to be fair, the delivery, the thing they send you is like a box and in the UK it's UPS, but I think it's different companies in different countries.
Yeah.
And a courier thing. You put it in to send back an Apple Watch, you take off your bands, the strap,
mm-hmm.
and you just put the actual watch face into a little box, send it on its way. Actually, the communication and the tracking is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
My personal experience was not good because basically they told me they hadn't fixed it and were unable to fix it when actually they had. And part of the reason that was was partly my fault. I hadn't turned my iPhone off. And this got us thinking about the kind of things you need to do if you're setting your phone up for repair.
Yes.
So with an Apple Watch, for example, the really critical thing is that you make sure it is not synced to your phone, particularly with something like Find My iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be off on your device.
Yeah.
And I think my working assumption is that is a kind of security thing so that someone can't find out your location whilst they're doing a repair.
Yeah. And like if your box were waylaid in the meantime or something, it would keep it from the same thing. It would keep it from being able to track back to you and who knows what else.
Exactly. So I'm guessing it's a safety thing.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. So that's an important thing to remember if you have to send back an Apple Watch. But there are also kind of other things you have to do because you've sent back a laptop, haven't you?
Yeah. And when you send back your laptop, there are a number of things you have to do when you send it back. So first of all, if you have to send your whether you take it into Apple or they mail you a box, if something happens to your computer, basically you should more or less go into it presuming that when you get it back, your computer will be empty, that there will be no data on it whatsoever, because it depends on what needs to be repaired. And you don't always know, and they can't always tell you, like, this is exactly what's going to happen. And we know that that's going to 100% resolve the issue that you're having. So just sort of assume that whatever's on it when you send it off to them is not going to be on it when it comes back. It will probably be a fresh install of operating system and that's it. So make sure you have a good backup, whether it's Time Machine, Carbon Copy Cloner, whatever. Make sure you've got a copy of all of that. And that also makes it very easy if you have a loaner device, for example, if you're going to temporarily use another computer or something for a while, that gives you a way to have access to all of that data, while your computer's in the shop. So, then you call Apple, they mail you a box, you get the box. Particularly with the laptops, it's very easy. They will send it to you. I've seen FedEx and UPS both. And sometimes, like if your delivery person is cool and you've got your computer right there by the door and you tell them, like, I'm just mailing this back. Can you hang on a second? You can pop the box open. It comes with tape even in the box so that you can seal it up as soon as you've got your computer inside. And it's like all in one. So you put your computer in this little kind of fabric-y sleeve. You put it in the little foam packaging that comes in the box, which all looks, really well designed. So it'll work for whatever computer you're going to put in the box. And then tape it up and peel off the label that sent it to you. And underneath it is the label that sends it back to Apple. And it goes on its merry way. It's a piece of cake. You can get, they will email you updates about it. We got your computer. the repair is complete. It's being sent back to you. And usually it seems like by the time they have the tracking information for you, like here's the tracking number for your computer, is usually the same day that it is, at least the first attempt is made at having it delivered to you. It seems to go really fast on the back end. So that's a good thing to know about if you're sending your computer off. I haven't had to send a phone lately, a phone or an iPod or an iPad. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's the two I haven't had to do. The watch is a very similar process, I say, to what you're describing. There's a kind of a specifically designed box that you kind of tie all, you know, it's a very Apple way of doing it. It's a very box that like is all sealed up in a very Apple way.
Yeah.
But I haven't done an iPad and iPhone either, but I feel like the theme overall is backups are key.
Make sure you've got a backup. You'll probably have to turn off Find My iPhone or just sign out of iCloud entirely. Depending, like if you are taking it into an Apple store, there are options for that now. You know, Charlotte has a list of open Apple stores over at MacObserver.com. So it may be a thing that you can do in person if they have to send you a box or something. Make sure you've got the best backup you can get. And remember, that's not iCloud. Like, you may want to make a local backup to your machine, and it'll be a lot faster to restore if you end up with new hardware. And just make sure that you have everything ready to go. There's a checklist, and if you have to do it, Apple will walk you through. Or if nothing else, you know, send you a link to a page about this is what you have to do if you're going to send us your iPhone or whatever. And then that makes it much easier to walk through everything. And then when you get it back, you'll do whatever you need to do, and that'll be great. So,
yeah, the whole process when it goes right is pretty quick, to be fair. I had a not good experience just because of some confusion, I think, either caused by me or by Apple. But generally, and actually what was good was I initially didn't have Find My iPhone turned off. Mm-hmm. And it does send you a text saying if you turn it off in the next 24 hours, we'll continue with the repair.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So
they're not like trying to get out. If you muck up, they often, certainly in that instance, will give you a chance a method to redeem it.
Yeah, you can get that sorted out. Just as a thing that we were talking about earlier, there's a page from Apple about the same sort of checklist if you're going to sell something like that. Like, maybe you're not sending it in for repair. Maybe this is a thing you're getting rid of, because we were talking about, you know, spring cleaning. Maybe you're getting rid of stuff. There's an Apple page about what to do before, you know, as you prep a computer, if you're going to sell it or you're going to donate it or whatever. And there are a lot of places that will do this for you. Best Buy will take, and if it's a working computer, Best Buy will give you a trade-in. If it's an Apple computer, Apple will take it and give you a certain amount of like store credit. And it's the same process as the repair. They'll mail you a box. You send in the device. Best Buy has trade-in for all sorts of electronics and recycling. So if you have something that's like too old to be reasonably useful and you can't find a place to donate it, there are places that will happily redeploy much older technology. Something that you may not find useful, maybe something that can be deployed in some other sort of, you know, nonprofit situation or something else. So you might want to check around for that. I know Best Buy is a nationwide. Home Depot, I think, will take back certain kinds of electronics depending where you live. And there's an EPA page that I will make sure we have a link to in the show notes about e-cycling and if you're going to donate electronics or if you're going to recycle them, like who will take it. And they have lookups for where you are to help you find the right places to unload that stuff. So, that's pretty much going to do it for us today. If you have other spring cleaning tips and tricks you want to make sure we talk about, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So that's going to do it for us today. Like I said, let us know if you have anything else. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we will talk to all of you tomorrow. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.